Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 26th day of March, 2024. I am thrilled to have a first-time guest today whose introduction to me was an obvious work of God's providence at the last G3 conference when I was manning my exhibitor's booth there in Atlanta, Georgia, and a man was walking around handing out a book, and that book happened to be the topic of our discussion today, Dangerous God, Wrath, Vengeance, Recompense, and Terror, by Jim Albright. And as renowned Christian author Donald Whitney has said about this book, it is a book of good news, terrifyingly good news. And my guest, Jim Albright, is not only the author of this book, but he's one of the pastors of Grace Baptist Church of Scott, Arkansas, and founder of Dangerous God Ministries. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you to Iron Sharpens Iron for the very first time ever, Jim Albright.
Hey, Chris, it's great to be with you.
It's great to have you in the program. Well, first of all, tell our listeners something about Grace Baptist Church of Scott, Arkansas.
Only been there a couple of years. My wife and I don't know if you know this history. We were in Italy for right at 19 years. I was the pastor of an international church there, English-speaking church in Milan, Italy. Had a great ministry. We loved every minute of it. COVID created a little bit of a problem. No internationals were coming to Milan anymore. Ultimately, the Lord led us to repatriate in 2022. And a good friend of mine was pastoring the church in Scott, and which is just outside of Little Rock. And he invited me to come on board. And he is also the co-founder of Dangerous God Ministries. He's quite the Greek scholar. Once his dissertation is published, you should have him on your program. It's going to be quite amazing. I'm at Grace, small rural church outside of Little Rock. It's a church that it used to be your average Southern Baptist church. And then my friend Brad, he was called as pastor and immediately set some things in motion, one being church discipline, and he lost about a third of his people on that one. And subsequently, he arrived at the doctrines of grace, and he lost another third on the doctrines of grace. So he's been through some difficult times down there, but we've got a good core group, and they love the Word of God, and they love the hard parts and the soft parts, so they're open to hearing all that God has to say.
Great. And when you mentioned Little Rock, immediately what came to mind is I know that for years our mutual friend Jim Eliff, who is now in Kansas City, Missouri, but for years he was pastoring in either Little Rock or North Little Rock. I can't remember right now, but it was definitely there in that area in Arkansas.
Yeah, he was in North Little Rock. When I was converted, immediately was exposed to Jim Elliff. And, of course, again, I was raised in a weak Southern Baptist church, didn't know anything. And he started throwing me books. I think the first book he threw me was Chosen by God by Sproul. And so my whole world began to change.
Amen. Well, since you are a first-time guest on Iron Sharpens Zion Radio, we have a tradition here. Whenever we have a first-time guest, we have that guest give a summary of their salvation testimony, which would include any kind of religious atmosphere in which you were raised and what kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you. So I'd love to hear your story.
Well, I had wonderful parents. You know, you get to a certain age and you look back and you realize what an unspeakable blessing it is to have parents who point you to Christ.
Amen.
I did not appreciate that for the first 28 years of my life, but we were at church Sunday night and Wednesday night, and my dad was a deacon. My mom was a Sunday school teacher. So I did what every good Southern Baptist child would do at the age of 8, which is to make a profession of faith. I dutifully did that. There was really no pressure except not from my parents anyway or from the pastor, but there's just this cumulative kind of understanding that around 8, you should probably make a profession of faith. I did. Didn't mean anything to me. I was baptized. I was thinking today about it after you mentioned that you wanted me to share a bit. I still vividly remember cursing a man out when I was in university for witnessing to me. It meant nothing to me. I didn't presume that I didn't presume to be a Christian. I know a lot of folks who are nominal think they are. I never presumed to be one. It just meant nothing to me. It was a cultural habit and something my family did. So, got married, had a couple kids, still going to church because it pleased my parents. And I was sitting in my mother's Sunday school class, and some guy read a text. And I was immediately struck by the realization that it was one of those hard texts. You know, Jesus has a habit of saying hard things. And I realized if that's a Christian, I'm not one. And as best I can recall, that is the first point of life in my dead soul. And I began to read the Word of God and ended up in a thing called Bible Study Fellowship. I don't know if you know about it. Started studying the Bible. The first study I was in was Genesis, and I just loved. You know, I was just so enamored with this love affair between Abraham and God and how God was just, you know, God would sovereignly come to him and reveal himself. And it was just fascinating to me. And I loved every minute of it. So that would be my conversion. It was just the Word of God, somebody reading the Word of God in a Bible study. And so I made a profession of faith, a genuine profession of faith, and I was subsequently baptized as a true believer. And I was in business. I was a CPA. Ultimately, felt called to go to seminary. So that's where the Lord took me. Ultimately, I'm not sure quite sure where to stop here, but I'll stop right there, and we can go forward or however you want to proceed.
Well, I think you already hinted at the fact, because I wanted to find out how you came to discover and fall in love with the doctrines of sovereign grace. And I believe you hinted at the fact that it may have had something to do with our mutual friend Jim Elliff handing you a book by R.C. Sproul, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I still have the same Bible, believe it or not, that I had when I first got converted. It's my most treasured possession. There's so many notes in the margin. I can still see the parentheses in the margin of Romans 9 the page that Romans 9 appears on, where I had written God's strange dealings in the lives of men. I had no idea what Romans 9 meant. I had no idea. And of course, Pearl's book helped me a lot. And I still remember I was playing golf with a mutual friend of Elif and mine. We teed off, and he starts talking to me about Romans 9 and about what's really being said there. And by the time we put it out, I was a Calvinist, although I don't use that term very often because it's widely misunderstood, as I suspect you are aware.
Yes.
In our international ministry, we almost never use the term. I think our international ministry, one of our great joys was to hold up a great sovereign God and watch the light come on for very many people who had simply been churched in, shall we say, nominal churches. That was the most fun part, is to preach a high, sovereign, holy, unapproachable, you know, consuming fire God, get him up as high as humanly possible, and watch the lights, you know, the light bulb come on in folks' mind. You can see it in their eyes. You can hear it in their voice.
Well, praise God. And so today we are talking about something that is very rarely heard from pulpits these days, or in the media, Christian media, whether it be Christian radio, television, internet. In fact, if you were to sit down with a church growth expert in our day and age, and he asked you, "So, tell me about this new book I hear you're writing." "Oh, it's called Dangerous God: Wrath, Vengeance, Recompense, and Terror." "Are you kidding me? Don't you want your church to grow? Are you just want to chase people away? What about this parachurch ministry you were on?" "Oh, that's called Dangerous God Ministries." "What? Are you out of your mind?" But just because a church growth expert might react that way, it doesn't mean it's not the right thing to publicly declare in a day and age when that kind of thing, that aspect of God, is almost never heard, even from the ministries of people who agree with us very closely theologically. I can even remember years ago when I was in advertising, an airtime salesman for a major Salem radio affiliate in New York, and a client of mine wanted to buy advertising, and I took an excerpt of a really powerful sermon that this pastor preached on hell, and I used it in the ad, and the pastor said to me, are you sure you want to use that clip in the ad? I said, "Oh, definitely, because it's something that you hardly ever hear anybody saying." And even though the phones were ringing off the hook at that church, people wanting to find out more about that church, because, just as I said, you hardly ever heard people preaching with such passion and warning with such urgency about the threat of hell. Even though that was occurring, he wanted me to stop airing that ad because he thought that people would think that's all he was about and all that kind of thing. So I was very disappointed, and I told him it was a mistake. And sure enough, when they did change the ad, the response from listeners was not nearly as great. So, in fact, there was a person, I'm not sure if it was a pastor or not, but he apparently has the same or similar convictions that you and I have theologically. And he posted in social media in response to my publicity for Dangerous God. He said, "By the cover illustration alone, I will not listen to your program." And my head was really ready to explode because of the amazement of the shallowness or the fear people have of men rather than God. But tell us about what initially led you to the point where you said, "You know, I've got to write this book with this provocative title and this provocative theme, and I've got to get it this book into the hands of as many Christians as possible. What was the compelling factor?
Well, I became a Piper fan right before I went to seminary, and I read his book Desiring God, and I began my trek into the beauty of God. And of course, he's channeling Jonathan Edwards for us all. He's helping us with Edwards, understand Edwards. And I just became wholly enamored with the person of God. I just look at God. I'd written another book before this one. It was just about looking at God as the creator. And it radically changed me. I mean, I spent 2 years just looking at God as creator and also bringing in the science as well as the pseudoscience, critiquing the pseudoscience that surrounds that topic. And I just was radically changed. And everything I look at in nature now, it's a point of worship. I get jacked up over a good banana. And I do. I mean, the packaging's ingenious, and then you have the taste on a perfect banana or a perfect watermelon, a perfect raspberry. I mean, all of these things, you know, just taste buds, right? You get jacked up. You can't believe that God gives us taste buds. And, you know, just his goodness and his thoroughness and his benevolence and his kindness and, you know, the goodness of God is over all of his works. So I thought, you know, I've always had this deep sense of awe about Yahweh since my conversion. And I thought, I'm going to write a book about awe. And so I Googled it, went out on Amazon, and of course, is it David Paul Tripp or Paul David Tripp? I always get that backwards.
Paul David Tripp.
He wrote a book entitled Awe, which irritated me. And but you know what? It was a pretty good book. I read it, and his baseline point in it is excellent, and really enjoyed it. And I thought, well, where can I go? And the Lord, it really, Chris, it was just the leading of God. I started thinking about this book, and I was looking for books on hell, for judgment, for wrath and vengeance. Of course, there's very little, if anything, out there currently, or that's in a modern sense. And I'm sitting on the runway at the Atlanta airport, returning to Milan, Italy, and he gave me all the chapters. If you've read the book, you know anything about the book, I'm just going through the Bible. There's right at 600 biblical references in the book. It's just almost all Bible. And the chapters fell in place in my mind. And I thought, you know, I think I'll try to do this. And I don't know if you've ever written a book, but when I do, it's you never know if you can finish it. You don't even know if you can get it started. You don't know what it's going to look like in the middle. And you have no idea, can I even finish this? Is this going to be of any value at all? And you just go to work and you know, takes you about a year or so. And Dangerous God came from a quote by Michael Horton. He said it's a dangerous thing to, I don't recall the exact quote, but it's something to the effect that it's a dangerous thing to ignore all that Yahweh has said about himself. And that planted the seed for the title. And then I thought what I would do is get four biblical words as the subtitle. I really wanted to put five on there, but it threw off the symmetry. The fifth word was horror. If you've read your Bible, you realize that God uses the word horror in relation to his judgment multiple times. I think 20-something times. But I thought Dangerous God was a great title. Again, I give Michael Horton, he planted the seed in my mind for that. Give him credit for that. And then these four biblical words that almost everybody recoils from. Obviously, the unbeliever and nominal Christian, they recoil from it. But even the born again man or woman, there's not much out there to help illuminate what God is revealing about himself. And I just felt like, you know, this would be a great opportunity to do this. And obviously at this point in time in our culture, I think we all understand that we're in a Romans 1 situation, and judgment is happening now and will continue, and maybe even the pace will accelerate. It's time to start saying that God is angry with the wicked every day, and it's time to start talking about his wrath. We know biblically, we know how he dealt with Israel and Judah as they turned away from him, and it was not pretty. Those of us who have read the prophets, it was, the things God says through the prophets are just, your average churchgoer has no idea. And I think even in some sound churches, maybe even in Reformed churches, the average person sitting in the pew who has not really become a student of the Bible has no idea that God talks like this. And he's unapologetic. And he says, by this you will know I am the Lord. And he says this over and over and over again. The other thing he says many, many times in the prophets is, this is your evil. This is your abomination. You have brought this upon yourself. So I think those are two important issues that need to be brought out. I think this is a good time. America 2024, this is a good time to talk about all that God is and not the, the dumbed down version that we're so used to.
The only thing that baffles me about the book is, where is your endorsement from Joel Osteen? I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, in Milan, we had about 1,000 over 19 years. We had about 1,000 people come through from about 100 different nationalities. Hmm. And we had very many people come through who were Osteen fans.
Wow.
And I think, by God's grace, I was able to help them, you know, wean them off of that disaster.
Amen.
So, but you know, Whitney was one of my seminary professors. I never thought, honestly, didn't know that he would ever endorse anything I wrote. He's endorsed everything I've written. I'm just so thankful. I think his name helps a lot. And I think it gives the book some credibility, at least among regenerate people. And so I think it's, again, 600 Bible verses. I think it's worth a read. I do want to say this, and I have not told you this, Chris, and I did want to mention it. My publisher wanted me to write a devotional version. Mm-hmm. So there's a devotional version out there.
Yes.
On Amazon. It's called Worship or Flee. And it's 31 days of it's Dangerous God distilled into 31 days, you know, what, 400 words a day or whatever, 300 words a day, whatever it is. I did want to mention that because Worship or Flee might be more to the taste of some folks, some listeners, other than 150 pages of theology.
Well, if you want more information about Worship or Flee, you can go to dangerousgod.org, dangerousgod.org. In fact, you could go there for all the information you'll need on the writings of my guest today. And we are going to our first commercial break right now. Let me just end this segment with a quote, a commendation from our mutual friend Jim Eliff, founder of Christian Communicators Worldwide. Euphemistic thinking about God is not truthful thinking about God. This book, as shocking as it might be, is a needed corrective. And if anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, send it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Perhaps you are having difficulties, having disagreements with your own church where you're a member, with your own pastors, and you obviously do not care at this point to identify yourself publicly. Or perhaps you are the pastor. You disagree with your own elders. You disagree with your own denomination over something we are addressing today. And you don't want to identify yourself publicly at this point either. Well, whatever the case may be, if it's a personal and private matter, we would be more than happy to grant your request to remain anonymous when you submit a question. But if it's a general question, please give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence and your country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back with Jim Albright and our discussion of his book, Dangerous God, Wrath, Vengeance, Recompense, and Terror. Don't go away.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnzen in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com, I'm going to enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best in literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's CVBBS.com. making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit RoyalDiadem.com. That's RoyalDiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this mind-blowing opportunity. RoyalDiadem.com is giving Iron Sharpens Iron Radio 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they make their purchase, whether you are purchasing a piece of jewelry that they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or if you're having a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry created, like an engagement ring, or, for instance, taking your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your seminary logo, or your denomination logo, and turning it into a pendant for a necklace or a ring, or anything else your imagination and creativity can conjure up in your brain. They will take what's in your brain and turn it into a mind-blowing, breathtaking, stunning piece of jewelry. I have seen firsthand the amazing quality of their craftsmanship through the customized jewelry that they have created. So if you have any intention on buying yourself or someone you love jewelry, and Mother's Day is going to be here right around the corner, Father's Day, I'm sure many people are going to be celebrating wedding anniversaries. Many of you single men out there are going to be popping the question to the special lady in your life, and you'll need an engagement ring. Whatever the case may be, please go to RoyalDiadem.com very soon. In fact, please go there today to at least get the ball rolling on your purchase, because we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this offer to us where we get 100% of the profits on any sale of jewelry when someone mentions Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So please go to royaldiadem.com today and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with Jim Albright. We are discussing his book, Dangerous God, Wrath, Vengeance, Recompense, and Terror. And I want to read a question. I usually don't read questions from listeners this quickly, but I want to read a listener question from Kitty in Cheney, Washington. And Kitty says, do you think that some of the reason why we have such soft, squishy, sugar-coated sermons and messages from pastors today is that they are overcompensating the sins of the past? Perhaps the kind of atmosphere in which these pastors were raised, where the strict fundamentalist approach to proclaiming the gospel may have been devoid of love and compassion and mercy and grace, and may have focused almost entirely on the wrath of God and other terrifying aspects, to the error of hardly ever proclaiming the grace of Jesus Christ. Jim, are you there?
I am here. Obviously, one-dimensional preaching is always wrong. It's just always wrong. And if that's true, if her assertion is true, that in bygone days there was a one-dimensional kind of exposition, which I'm not sure that's very widely true, but if that was, then that's an error. You can't present God as one-dimensional. He's multifaceted. Just like you and I, we have multiple dimensions in our personalities and character as well. So, yes, he is love. And, yes, he's many, many, many other things he's revealed about himself. I think the thing that's maybe startling and stunning and I think has to be a stench in his nostrils that we categorically ignore all the ink he's given to his wrath and his judgment, his recompense, and his terror. And I'll include the word horror. I just looked it up during the break. 29 times in the NASB, God attaches the word horror to his description of his judgment upon his rebellious creatures. So this is, it's always wrong. One-dimensional presentation is always wrong. But of course, that's where we are right now. A one-dimensional presentation by and large in evangelicalism. And it's a false presentation. It's a pseudo Christ. We don't hear about the angry lamb. It's a surrender to pragmatism and the perpetuation of the organization. You know, it's been my sense, and obviously it can be an error, but it seems like in many, many places that there's a preoccupation with organizational preservation over and above proclaiming the absolute sovereignty and glory of an inexpressibly great God. To me, as a preacher, my first job is to hold him up, whether it's me and my wife Karen in the church and no one else, then I'm happy to hold up God as desirable and beautiful and compelling in all of his attributes. And I'm not into organizational preservation. I want as many people to come to Christ as possible, but I think it's, again, a stench in his nostrils to downgrade Christ in order to do that. And so, you know, as God makes no apology, I make no apology. And in the book, you get to chapter, is it 9? I don't know. Let me look. Chapter 9, we see God's remedy for the wrath that rightly befalls a rebellious people. It's chapter 9. It's called 6 Hours. And Jesus Christ has taken care of the wrath problem for all who would receive him by faith. So there's a the end of the book, or towards the end of the book, it's we see this amazing thing God has done, where Jesus lays down his life for his people, taking on the fullness of the wrath of God. So I'll stop there for a moment.
Well, I just want to thank Kitty for the excellent question. And guess what, Kitty? You have won a free copy of Dangerous God by my guest today, Jim Albright. So please make sure that you send us your full mailing address in Cheney, Washington, so that Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, can ship that out to you at no cost to you or to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. And we want to thank Dangerous God, .com for supplying us with a limited...
Hey, I used to do that all the time.
Thanks for supplying us with these books. I'm going to read one more listener question now, because it is pertinent to what we're talking about. I'm hoping that all the questions will be, but it's kind of another good question to set the stage. Lou from Sharpsburg, Georgia. Good afternoon, brothers. Do you think it's significant that it's the fear of the Lord and not the love of the Lord that is the beginning of knowledge?
Yeah. I think there might be something there.
Especially since,
you know,
it's God breathed.
I think the guy's onto something here. I do have an appendix, and it's entitled Fearing God. It's about 6 or 10 pages. And I talk about this, but I've always loved what Piper says about the fear of God. He says, "This is not the opposite of joy in the Lord. It is the depth and seriousness of it." And I just think that's a perfect quote. That's in his book, Providence, which, by the way, I'll do a short commercial. Providence is 711 pages long, written by John Piper. I've read it twice, and then I led a Bible study through it once. I would say it's non-negotiable reading for your genuine Christian. And I know that's a lot of pages, but you know, you read a couple of chapters a week, it doesn't take you very long to get through it. And I'll shut up about that. But the book is excellent. The book is, in my view, excellent.
Great. Well, thank you, Lou. And you've also won a free copy of Dangerous God. So make sure we have your full mailing address in Sharpsburg, Georgia. I'm going to go through each of these elements of your book that you have contained within its pages: wrath, vengeance, recompense, and terror. But I wanted to also help set the stage on this. Isn't it true that unless we understand the danger of God, we will never appreciate the grace and mercy and forgiveness of God? Otherwise, grace is not amazing, and the gospel is a yawn, like, okay. In fact, our language in modern evangelicalism is so comforting and filled with adjectives and synonyms that involve love that you very often may be leaving the unrepentant rebel in a state of false comfort. Well, you know, if Jesus loves me so much, and if Jesus paid the price for my sin, which obviously you and I, who believe in definite atonement and particular redemption, don't believe that he paid the price for every single human being, but we don't know who the elect are. We have to evangelize everyone. But but we may be leaving these people in the state of mind, and I'm sure we often do, where they're saying to themselves, Jesus loves me and died for my sin. Thanks a lot for letting me know. I guess I'm good to go.
Exactly.
But isn't this aspect of truth the bad news? Don't we need the bad news before we can really appreciate how good the good news is?
Yes. Short answer, of course. I think, well, in the book, chapter 9, it talks about, actually, I say something like, let me see if I can find it. Actually, that was in one of the, yeah, that's in just a moment. It's right here in one of the appendices.
Well, while you're looking, I'm going to give our email address out again if anybody wants to
join
us.
Sure, I've got it right here. Okay. I've got it right here. Some have asked a question about the book concerning where's the balance. And I say, while the cross, chapter 9, is balanced enough, I wonder why do we always seem to feel the need to moderate or soften what God has revealed about himself with respect to his judgment and wrath. So, yes, what's being said there is absolutely right. If we discount this massive amount of ink that God has given to the fact that he is a consuming fire, holy, righteous, no-nonsense God. And he means what he says what he means, and he backs it up. And he judges people. You know, you get to the New Testament, you know, you always hear these silly things said about, well, the Old Testament God, the New Testament God. You get to the New Testament, and Jesus starts talking about eternal conscious punishment. Now, we only have vague allusions to that in the Old Testament. You get to the New Testament, and the Son of God starts telling us bluntly about eternal conscious punishment. So, yeah, New Testament God. Then you get into the Revelation, and here's the angry lamb. It's just astonishing, really. And again, I go back to what I said earlier. It's this denominational formula of pragmatism, trying to draw as many people as you can. That's not the point. You know, Jesus would have he would have thousands of people following him, and he would turn around and say something absolutely objectionable to the flesh.
Yes.
And he would lose them.
Then
John 6. Absolutely. And of course, there's this great testimony to God's sovereignty right there.
And by the way, so, the thing that he mentioned that finally made his followers turn away was a point of doctrine uniquely taught by we who are theologically reformed, that
absolutely.
No one come to the Father unless no one can come to me unless it is given to him by the Father, granted to him.
You know, this, I think some of it's well-intentioned, but I think most of it is, I think for your average pastor in your average church, we have to have organizational success. And the way organizational success is quantified is by numbers and budget.
Yep.
And I think this, again, I think this is offensive to Yahweh. I personally think it is. I'm happy to preach to four people, but I could never, you know, it's the whole, and I know you've heard this a million times, but it's true. Man, you got to find the preacher who has an audience of one. That's the guy you want. You
right.
want that guy because he trembles before God. He's not overly concerned about how you like the sermon. He's principally concerned about what his God thinks of it. And that's the guy you need in pulpits. And in this era that we find ourselves in, most folks will not tolerate that.
Amen. Well, we have another listener question that is excellent in Aquabog, Long Island, New York. Jill. And Jill says, don't you think the problem of the fact that so many churches are filled with false professing Christians who are making lives a living hell for those in leadership is the direct result of comforting the goats with a false message that is not the whole truth? And that's why they are streaming into places like that.
Yes. It's organizational preservation over and above everything else. And, you know, I told you I was raised in a weak liberal Southern Baptist church, and I was a deacon there for a while. And then the light, you know, the Lord started lighting me up with the truth. But shame on the pastors. You know, I would rather go sell used cars, and or do road maintenance, whatever. And this is I'm not diminishing the value of a used car salesman or men who work on the roads or whatever. But I would do that before I would ever stand in a pulpit and dumb God down. I mean, yeah, I'm going to have to give an account. And so shame on any pastor who moderates the message. Absolutely shame on him. Get out of the pulpit. You're damaging yourself and your eternity. Get out of the pulpit. You're a Pied Piper. You're misleading your flock, and they deserve better. And, you know, again, I'll say it again. I would rather preach to 10 people than 10,000. Because if I have to moderate this blunt message of God, then, if I'm not man enough, I remember one of the first newsletters I ever wrote for our ministry. I'll just read you a couple of excerpts. It says, to quote a guy named Baxter, preach the word is never sure to preach again as a dying man to dying men. The you cannot see my face and live God has called us to act like men, to be strong, to be courageous, to stand firm in the faith, and to be very zealous for the Lord. Ultimately, as I mentioned earlier, we have an audience of one. So we preach him glorious. We preach him holy. We preach him righteous. We preach him dreadfully provoked. And we dare not omit a word. So that's my message. That's my message to the pastors. Hey, if you can't stand the heat, get out. I think as we move on through this time of judgment in our country, these kinds of churches, these kinds of ministers will fall by the wayside.
Well, we would hope so. And thank you, Jill. Please give us your full mailing address in Aquabog, Long Island, because you've also won a free copy of Dangerous God by my guest today. You know, we understand it when a liberal and apostate false Christian churches that are not truly Christian at all. We understand it when their messages to the public and to their own congregations are devoid of these concepts. But the baffling part is when those who claim to believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, who believe every word is God-breathed, who truly have a concern for not only the eternal souls of dying men, but also have a deep concern for honoring and glorifying God and not dishonoring him and not disobeying him. That's the baffling part, was when they will read a text like Hebrews 10:31. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God, knowing that was God-breathed, and that it's in the Scripture and intended for the reading and hearing of all. They think it's wiser not to let that be publicly known. They think they're wiser than God. Totally baffling. But I'll let you pick up on that when we return. We have to go to our midway break right now. And if anybody has a question, please submit it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please use this time wisely. Please write down as much of the contact information for as many of our advertisers as you can, so that you can more frequently respond to our advertisers, knowing that they are essential for our existence. The funding that they provide through their advertising is absolutely essential to us remaining on the air. And also, don't forget to send in your questions to Jim Albright, to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers: Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Atoy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We are delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of himself.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And never forget that solid-ground-books.com is a primary, a premier, a vital financial supporter of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So I would urge you, if you've never purchased books from solid-ground-books.com before, please, today, make your very first purchase. And even if you're a regular customer, perhaps you even purchase books every month from them, please go to solid-ground-books.com today and make today your largest purchase than ever before, if at all you can afford to do so. And keep in mind, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor when you purchase books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print titles that have been lost treasures of Christian literature, sometimes buried by the sands of time, as they say, for centuries and unavailable to the church, until solid-ground-books.com rediscovered them and brought them back into print. And they also publish works traveling through the ages up to our modern day, including new works by current authors like Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So go to solid-ground-books.com and please mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making your purchase. Before I return to Jim Albright and our discussion of his book, Dangerous God, Wrath, Vengeance, Recompense, and Terror, we have some important announcements to make. If you really love this show, folks, and you don't want it to disappear, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, sending in a physical check to a physical address at your post office the old-fashioned way, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event you want to promote, whatever it is, as long as it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign quickly, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So go to, or send me an email, I should say, to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Always remember, folks, I never want my listeners to cut in to the finances that you have set aside for your giving to your own local church on the Lord's Day in order to bless us financially. In other words, never give your own church less money than you normally give your church in order to bless us with a financial gift. Never do that. And also, if you are really struggling to survive and make ends meet, please wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a gift. The Bible is very clear that we are primarily to use the money with which God has blessed us, which is still His money. We're primarily to use it to provide for our church and our family, and providing for my radio show is not a command of God, obviously. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you love the show and you don't want it to disappear, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, well, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now and help us out today. Also, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Grace Baptist Church of Scott, Arkansas, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I have extensive lists of biblically faithful churches spanning the globe, and I may be able to help you find a church no matter where you live, as I have done with many people in my Iron Sharp and Zion radio listening audience all over the planet Earth. So no matter where you live, if you are without a solid church home, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Jim Albright on Dangerous God. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Going back to my question, or my statement, really, before the break, I'm assuming it baffles you just as much as it does me that those that claim the inerrancy of Scripture and that every word is God's word, and yet those folks very often still say, well, God may have said it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God, as it does in Hebrews 10:31, but that's not for public consumption. Doesn't that baffle you?
Yeah, it's almost like a private crusade for me. I simply have a hard time tolerating it. I don't understand it. I don't understand how a man can be indwelt by the Holy Spirit and consciously, what shall we say, redact or censor God by omission. I'm stunned by it. I'm shocked by it. I think it's dreadful. I think some of these guys are incurring great judgment upon themselves. I was listening to Paul Washer some years ago. I'll never forget this. There was some panel he was sitting on. And the question came, what is the greatest threat to the church today? Immediately, he said, pastors. And wow. I think he's mostly right. I mean, if the guy can't get in there and magnify the message, I mean, magnify the God of the message and get him up high, so high that we get hell. We get it. We understand it. You know, as one theologian said, if hell were not revealed in Scripture, we would have to deduce it because of the character and holiness and righteousness of God. And so, yeah, I guess it shows in my writing of the book, but I think there's something wicked here. And, there's something wrong in what is called your average, shall we say, Protestant church. And we know that many of those who would claim to be Protestants are wayward. They're off the Bible. They're into pragmatism, and it's difficult. You know, I think Washer's statement, it stings, but I think I think it's true.
Yes, I don't think I've ever heard a sermon by Paul Washer that didn't sting.
That's his MO, yeah.
I even told him that when I was interviewing him. I said, I hope you're not offended by this, but I don't recall ever hearing one of your sermons that left me walking away feeling better about myself.
Well, you know, and Paul Washer certainly doesn't fit this category, but you have men who are more concerned with offending their hearers than offending their God. And I just can't understand that kind of thinking.
It's not even what's best for your hearers.
No, if you love them, you give all of it to them.
Right.
And
just like a parent.
Now, if you love your job, if you simply love your job and your paycheck and your comfort and your security and your ease, then you tend to knock off the edges and sand it down a little bit. But you know, if you actually love people, you warn them.
Yeah.
And you know, what if? Let's just ask the question: what if God? What if the Son of God is actually telling the truth that eternal conscious punishment is a real thing? It's almost to me, Chris, how can that not be an emphasis maybe once a quarter?
Right.
If the Son of God is true, if he's telling us the truth, and of course we know that he is, how can we, you know, how can we sidestep this issue? I mean, again, it's just unloving. It's unconscionable.
Amen. Well, can you provide a comparison and a distinction between wrath and God's chastisement?
Well, I think his chastisement, if I understand the term in the way that you're using it, would be as he disciplines his children.
Right.
Okay. Certainly there's every difference in the world. He's disciplining his children from love. I mean, what is the great purpose of God in the life of his elect, which is to what? To bring them in conformity with his Son. You know, there's that great Malachi verse about the refiner sitting over the silver, and it's in the fire and he's watching it. And of course, he's going to bring it out just at the right time. And which is when he sees his face in it. But he loves his people. He is going to bring them in conformity, because in conformity is a greater depth of joy and delight in who he is. So he's faithful to do that, and we praise God for it. You know, wrath falls on the rebel, and it's an infinite and eternal wrath. It's unrelenting. There is no escape. There is no release. There is no relief. You just read that the words of Jesus when he talks about hell, and I like how Jim Elliff says it. Jim Elliff says he says something to the effect that, you know, the metaphors and the analogies and some of the symbolism used that Jesus uses there. Jim says these are signposts to something worse. And Jim says it's beyond human description. It can only be experienced. It can't be described.
Wow.
And I think, man, we have got to talk about this. You know, again, men want to be liked. They want the accolades. Many do. And we know that many walk away from these kinds of messages. But again, I think love compels us.
Amen. And the next word I'd like you to highlight in your subtitle, vengeance. Even non-Christians who have never read the Bible have likely heard an oft-quoted verse, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." Tell us about vengeance.
Well, it's just another word that God has chosen to use. In my book, I note that it appears 37 times in relation to God and his judgment. I actually have a little definition in the front of the book where I unpack the title, and the proper definition of vengeance is the act or motive of punishing another in payment for a wrong or injury he has committed. It's retribution. And there's also noted there in that proper dictionary definition, with great violence or fury. So this is perfect for the vengeance that God talks about. He is punishing those who are in rank rebellion. You know, one thing we talked about a few moments ago that I wanted to possibly expand upon was this thing about hell and what value is there in talking about the judgment of God. And what is the value of the doctrine of hell? I have a paragraph in my book. It's headed an indispensable doctrine. The doctrine of wrath and hell is indispensable because of three things, at least three things, or maybe more. But without it, we never get a deep sense of his unapproachable holiness. You know, we have some vague sense of it. But if we take on board what Jesus says about eternal conscious punishment, you start to get a deeper sense of exactly how infinitely above us he is. You know, one of my seminary professors said, oh, yeah, your average, again, I went to a Baptist seminary. He said, yeah, your average Baptist thinks God's a big guy. You know, this is a huge problem. He's infinitely above the biggest guy we can even begin to imagine. And he's infinitely holy. And that white lie takes you to hell forever because he's infinitely holy. The second point is you never understand how monstrous your sin is until you look at what the right punishment is. You know, this is what righteousness demands, eternal conscious punishment. You get some sense of how monstrous your sin is. And then lastly, you know, as you alluded to earlier or mentioned earlier, we never begin to plumb the unfathomable depths of the finished work of Jesus on the cross and all that he took upon himself to save us.
Amen. We have Claudio in Silver City, New Mexico, who says, do you have any counsel as to how we can balance in our minds on one end knowing that God intends to comfort us by letting us know that he will take vengeance upon those who have severely hurt us, harmed us, persecuted us, who have not repented, while at the same time not wanting what is worst for our enemies and praying for what is best for them, which is, of course, receiving the gift of repentance and faith?
Well, that's the hard call, isn't it? Loving our enemies. I know it's easy to talk about, but this is the call. You know, this is the call. And so that takes hard work. I think that takes much prayer. I think we have to work that. I think it's a constant. If we're serious about it, it permeates our prayers and it permeates our speech, because we have to work at this. This does not come natural, at least for most of us. Praying for our enemies, loving them enough to share the gospel. That's our call. And was there a second part? I can't remember what the other part of the question was.
Well, he was basically comparing the two seemingly opposing concepts, which are not really opposing, but the fact that the Bible does seem to indicate that we are to take comfort in the fact that God will take vengeance upon those.
Yeah, it's his. It's not ours. Yeah. Yeah,
He will take vengeance upon those eventually, even if it never appears that way on this earth. You know, there may have been victims of the Holocaust who never saw justice come to their Nazi persecutors. But at the same time, we know that that will happen to those that never repent on this earth, who remain in their sin and their wickedness. And aren't we to take comfort in that and satisfaction and knowing that God is indeed going to exact vengeance upon them?
I think that, yes, because, but I look at it maybe a little differently. I look at it from maybe a God-centric perspective. You know, I heard MacArthur. I'll never forget this. I'm driving to work back in the early 90s, I guess. And he says something like this. He says, we will wholly agree with the perfect righteousness of God as he casts our family members into hell. And that was a big thing for me to chew on for a while. But I think what we delight in is his holiness and his righteousness. And we love this about him. And we love this about him more than the temporal relationships, even familial relationships on this planet. I mean, the born-again soul is so hopelessly in love with this beautiful God that and we concur, we heartily concur with all that he does. You know, I think that's, I have a sermon that I like to preach. It's Psalm 117. I think that's the middle chapter of the Bible. And the psalmist exhorts us in two verses to praise God. He exhorts us three times in two verses to praise God. And I think this is the vocation of the true believer. You know, we're so wrapped up in praising and looking at God and delighting in God that we're happy to leave all of the particulars to him. You know what I'm saying, Chris? We're happy to leave the adjudications that he will bring upon whether they're family members or enemies. It doesn't. We trust him with all of these adjudications. And we delight in his adjudications because he is who he is. You know, it's just, I was thinking about, I'm sure you know the name John Gerstner.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking about it the other day. You know, R.C. Sproul's mentor, I think.
Yes. Saw him preach on a number of occasions.
I'll never forget what I heard Gerstner say. He said, you know, he said, your average Christian, your average churchgoer, he actually gets around to reading his Bible and he realizes he doesn't like God at all. And this is, I'm just trying to make a dichotomy here. We're either all in with who he is. You know, God says, I love those middle chapters of Isaiah. He says, I'm God. Nobody else is God. I'm God. You're not. And there's no one like me, right? He just, in those middle chapters of Isaiah, he just exalts himself. And I love that. I love that so much. So I think that we love him for who he is, or we're unconsciously, maybe consciously, trying to mold him into some God we might feel more comfortable with. And I think this is always a danger. I think, again, why did I write the book? Because I wanted to look at him like this. I wanted to see him like this. And I wanted to love him more coming out on the other end. And that's exactly what happened, you know, because you look at this unapproachable holy God, and then how can I get to him? I can't. But he has come for me. And it just... yeah, it makes the thinking person, you connect about three or four dots here and you're weeping on your face.
Amen. We have an anonymous listener in Maumelle, Arkansas. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that wrong or incorrect.
That is right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's about 10 minutes from here.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I hope this person, if they don't have a church home that's solid, will visit Grace Baptist Church of Scott, Arkansas. The anonymous listener says, how do you respond to the danger of focusing on the dangers of God when sometimes the audience hearing the message has had a tyrannical and abusive father? They may get the wrong impression that their father on earth is no different than the father in heaven, except that the father in heaven has infinitely more power.
Well, I always love what John Lennox says about in relation to something, a question comparable to this. I always love what he said. You know, Jesus, God has actually entered into the suffering of man. So there's this distinction. Yes, he's infinitely above us. Yes, he's holy and righteous and unapproachable. He's a consuming fire, but he has entered into our suffering and he has bled out to save his people. Now, you know, both of these things are true. So, you know, I don't remember who said, I think it was maybe I heard Piper say it, but all of God does all that God does, right? I mean, he's all of these things in perfect symmetry. He's like a symphony. And you don't get to pick one and leave the other out. And yes, I understand if you've had an abusive father, I can understand maybe some of the confusion there, but my counsel would be you have to fight through that through scripture and through prayer and through communion with the Spirit. I mean, we know that God is infinitely more than a harsh, demanding authoritarian. He's way more than that. He's revealed himself to be that. And again, the believer, the born again believer, this is a real thing in his heart. He relates to this. It resonates, right? It resonates. My God's like this. So that would maybe be an inadequate response, but my response.
Yes, and of course, this also goes back to a pastor or even a Christian, an average Christian who's evangelizing somebody. They have to come from a standpoint or a viewpoint where they are declaring the whole counsel of God, and you don't only stick on to the wrathfulness of God and everything you say about God. Don't you think one of the problems here about even the reason for your writing this book and the fact that this kind of thing is absent so often from pulpits, from best-selling Christian books, from the public ministries on radio and television by evangelists, is that they very often behave and speak in such a way that they're assuming everybody listening is regenerate, is already born again. And yeah, they are offering to them a God where all of the benefits from God that are exclusively promised to the believers, to true believers, are being presented to the general public in a broad-brushing fashion so that people are receiving false comfort.
Yeah, it's just malpractice.
Yep.
It's just malpractice. I mean, every preacher with any experience knows, you know, the church is a mission field. As Jesus said, there are very many who claim his name. But Jesus says, I don't know who you are. So we know that the church is a huge mission field, and we have to be prudent and careful and circumspect with our language, and not to give false assurance to anyone. One of the most heinous things we can do is to give false assurance. You know, people would ask me over the years, I've been doing this for about 30 years, I guess, maybe 40. I'm trying to remember now. I guess it's more like 30 as far as being in the pastorate. And people would ask me, Jim, do you think I'm a Christian? And I would say, well, you're asking the wrong person. I can make a guess based on what I see in your life, but you need to ask God, are you a Christian? I mean, you need to go to him. You need to wrestle this out with him. So I take nothing at face value. You know, everybody thought Judas was real, didn't they?
Yes.
Everybody thought Judas was a Christian, a true follower of Jesus. Everybody thought Joshua Harris was a true follower of Jesus. I mean, you can be a mega pastor and walk away.
Many people thought that very famous hip-hop artist, whose name escaped me, was a genuine believer who just recently denounced Christ. And I wish I could remember his name.
Right.
Very famous person, and I just can't remember his name right now.
So we just have to be, you know, as pastors, ministers, conscientious, mature believers, we have to be very careful with our language. And we have to send people back to the text, back to the prayer closet, back to the Holy Spirit. You know, I still remember when I was still quite young, I was just a Sunday school teacher, and I had a woman call me, and she said, Jim, she said, my son, my husband, who they were both in my Sunday school class, and she calls me. She said, "Jim, if you'll come over right now, I think I think my husband will receive Christ. And I said, you know what? Why don't we do this? I knew he'd heard the gospel. I knew he knew the truth. I said, why don't we leave him with the Holy Spirit? Why don't we do that? And I know that sounds maybe radical and uncaring, but to me, it's not. Mm-hmm. People have to work these issues out.
Yes.
They have to work these issues out in their heart and soul before God. I am not going to give false assurance. And I'm not going to say, pray this prayer and you're in. I am not going to say that. I've been down this road. I was that guy.
And you're not going to do it because nobody in the Bible did it.
Exactly. This is not how it works biblically. You're exactly right, Chris. This is not how it works. This is a miracle. It's supernatural. Only God can do this. So let's continue to point him and all of those who hear us as we witness to the miracle working God who circumcises hearts.
And by the way, Claudio in Silver City, New Mexico, and also our anonymous listener, if you care to send in your full mailing addresses, you have also each won a copy of Dangerous God. We'll need, obviously, the full name of the anonymous listener, but that will not be mentioned on the air, obviously. We are going to our final commercial break right now, so don't go away.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Chris Aronson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. And now, they're also shipping worldwide. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online worldwide at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 717-249-0231. That's 717-249-0231. For orders of $50 or more, use promo code IRON for an extra 5% off their already discounted prices. And please, let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order. Arnzen here, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I strongly recommend a church I've been recommending as far back as the 1980s, Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. They endeavor to maintain a God-centered focus and to protect worship from the intrusion of carnal entertainments and distractions. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbc-nj.org. That's gcbc-nj.org. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the Word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Chris Arnzen here. I am forever grateful to Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service for their generous financial support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But that's not the only reason I love them. CVBBS.com carries the finest in theologically reformed literature from 16th century classics like Calvin's Institutes, 17th and 18th century Puritan treasures like the works of Jonathan Edwards, 19th century volumes by the Prince of Preachers Charles Spurgeon, all the way up to the 21st century with the best of R.C. Sproul, Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, and more. On top of their stellar book selection, CVBBS.com offers up to 50% off retail prices with an added 5% off for orders of $50 or more when using the promo code IRON. Visit CVBBS.com today and use promo code IRON. That's CVBBS.com. Enriching minds and maintaining the theologically reformed influence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio through their financial support. Now shipping worldwide.
Welcome back. I think we should move on now, Jim, to one of the elements in your book, which is the word recompense. If you could define that, please.
Recompense. Well, I'll just because I'm a former CPA, I like to be very precise. I'll just read it in front of my book. To make return for, amends made for something as damage or loss, payment in return for something given or done. So in the context we're talking about, these are our wages, right? Judgment is the wage of the rebel. And so God brings recompense. God will mete out perfect recompense for our God indifference and our rebellion against him and his word.
Amen. And now finally, terror. If you could explain, obviously everybody knows what terror means, but in context of a dangerous God.
Well, again, I just borrow from your average dictionary, and I believe this is true. You know, 8 guys saw him. We have recorded in Scripture. You know what every one of those 8 men did?
What they do?
They hit their face, or they cried out in despair. So the definition of terror is intense, overpowering fear. Something as a terrifying object or occurrence that instills intense fear. And I think this is what's missing in the average evangelical church, this fear of the Lord, which again, as you said rightly, is the beginning of wisdom. And as Piper said, is the place we need to go to enjoy and experience the deep joy of who God is. So I think we're running out of time. Is that correct? Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. I did want to say there is a study guide for Dangerous God. I commend it to you. It might be good for small groups. And I would encourage your listeners, if their pastor doesn't have a copy of the book, to buy them one, the book Dangerous God. If they can't afford to buy them one, send me the address. I'll send it to him. I think we've been able to put about 1,500 books in pastors' hands. You know, this is we're trying to impact the pulpits.
Amen. And they can find out more how to do that at dangerousgod.org. Dangerousgod.org. And we do have enough time to, I think, make sure that people don't leave this program with any misconceptions. Just like we were talking before about how often preachers will treat everybody in their audience, whether it's the audience in their own congregation or whether it is their audience through TV, radio, or the internet, or through the books they write, that they're treating everybody as if they were born again. There is an element, it's likely today a minority, but it still exists, of pastors who verbally beat up on their hearers and fill them with the same kind of terror that only a rebel against God should be experiencing. I'll give you an example. I conducted an interview. In fact, I mentioned this interview yesterday. I conducted an interview in November of 2023 with Ginger Duggar Volo on Becoming Free Indeed, My Story of Disentangling Faith from Fear. She was raised in a home rooted in the Bill Gothard theology, which would basically instill terror upon even Christians, where there was a hanging threat over their heads, a hovering threat of God killing you at any moment because you've been disobedient in some way. And sometimes these ways are comparatively minor in the grand scheme of things. But, you do something wrong and, you know, God may kill you on the way home from church in your car and that kind of thing. And that kind of drumbeat where the regenerate are treated in no different way than those who are rebels, this is equally wrong, isn't it?
I certainly agree. Again, we just have to have integrity with the text, and we get a balanced view of God. We never want to obviously diminish his anger at sin. And we know there are moments in the Bible where he does strike people down. I think he sends that, you know, Ananias and Sapphira. That's one of the first lessons of an early church, right?
Yes.
Nobody plays games with me.
Yep.
But obviously this unfathomable love of God expressed through the birth and life and death and resurrection and promised coming of Christ. I mean, you know, it's like we have to have integrity with the text and be balanced in our understanding of Scripture.
Amen. And we're out of time, and I want to repeat your websites. First of all, the website for Grace Baptist Church of Scott, Arkansas is gracebaptistchurchscott.org, gracebaptistchurchscott.org. And the website for Dangerous God Ministries is dangerousgod.org, dangerousgod.org. I also want to remind you folks that if you're a man in ministry leadership, you're invited to the free Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon featuring guest speaker Joel Beakey of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary. And this is Thursday, June 6th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Perry County, Pennsylvania, absolutely free of charge. And everybody who attends is going to receive a very heavy sack of free brand new books personally selected by me and donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom. Everybody attending will walk home with a heavy sack of books for free. If you want to register, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. I want to thank you so much, Jim, for being such a superb guest. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.